IP note, anyone can participate in these calls. However, all substantive contributors to any CCG work items must be members of CCG with full IPR agreement signed. The link to join the Credentials Community Group is being, I paste it into chat, and you'll need to ensure you have a W3 account first. This is just a web account. It's no charge, free to join and participate in community groups. And if you want to read the text of the W3C community contributor license agreement, that's also in chat. These minutes and an audio recording of everything said on these on this call are archived in our GitHub meetings repo, which is available at this location. I've pasted into chat. And throughout the call, if you want to queue yourself, we generally don't have so many people. You can use the raise hand feature, or as some people do, just type Q plus directly into chat, like I've done just now. And that way I can keep track of the order that you queued yourself. Okay, let's move on to introductions and reintroductions. First, I want to see if there's anyone new to the call that would like to introduce themselves. May I call on Sebastian? Zoom won't show me your last name, but it says BOEN. And
Yeah,
I
it's Boender. I'm Dutch, by the way.
okay.
Yeah, I'm Sebastian Boender, part of Surion. Normally, Maarten Boender would be here. We're part of the DIF group as well, and we mainly focus on DIDs and verifiable credentials. So just here to listen to this weekly event. And
Fantastic.
it is a family business.
I was wondering about that. Yeah, I thought the last name looked familiar, so great. Anyone else new to the call that would like to introduce themselves? Patrick Anderson, may I call on you, please? I know it's hard to reach to the find the locate and get to the mute button. So no worries there. Okay, so moving on to
Oh,
reintroduction.
sorry. So,
Oh,
here
that's
I am.
all
Yeah,
right.
my name is Patrick. I'm part of the Swedish delegation working with the ABSI Diplomas User Group, situated in Gothenburg. Just listening in today.
Fantastic. It's great to have you. And moving on to reintroductions, this is a good time if you've switched either jobs or your focus and want to tell other people about what you're working on. If you are interested in reintroducing yourself, you can probably just speak up. We usually don't have a mad rush for this. I'm going to call on actually Stuart, mostly because I'm curious what he's up to lately. Stuart, can you reintroduce yourself?
Hi, yes, I'm Stuart Sutton, retired professor emeritus, University of Washington Information School. I do independent consulting work, metadata consulting work with Credential Engine, T3, kind of peppered around a few places.
Great. And you and Phil Long set a really bad example of what retirement means, by the way. So I have a hard time remembering you're supposed to be retired.
Yeah, well, talk to me about it. So do I.
I
think we need a support group, Stuart.
What a great idea. I bet it would be full.
Okay, great. So we have a pretty full agenda, so we can go ahead and move on. First, I wanted to go through the use cases and tags. So I was actually in the middle of submitting a use case. I realized I didn't do it. So I will do that right after the call. Let's see. Here are the issues I wanted to review, paste it into chat, and I'm going to share my screen as well. So thank you to Carrie and Anthony for, well, Anthony kicked it off. Carrie made some proposals around the use case tags that we want to use. They look like a really good set to me that we can at least start with. Let me pull this open. Okay, so Carrie listed a few here, which you can read, starting issuer to subject, system to system, peer to peer, etc. The goal of these tags, so reminder that last week we reviewed a use case template, and we wanted a way to start categorizing the use cases. At the same time, we weren't comfortable yet establishing a full complete classification. So we thought tagging, or rather labels, which you could use over in this area of my screen, would help us be able to sort through and figure out and categorize as we want. So this part of the discussion, I wanted to see if there are any comments. Also, if you have any comments after the meeting, feel free to add them in GitHub. The idea here is we want to reach some kind of consensus on whether we like these as a good starting point. And if so, after this meeting, I'll go ahead and populate the labels as options so that you could use them when you're submitting your use case, or rather as well after the fact, the chairs can apply them. So no worries if you can't apply them when you're submitting it, we can do it for you. Any comments on this set of labels that Carrie's added here? Okay, and now I'm not going to be able to find my chat. There we go.
Hey, Mrs. Carrie.
Hi, Carrie. Yes, do you want to talk to this a bit?
I can for a second. I want to apologize because I think my headphones are busted. So I'm speaking into my computer mic for now. And also I have two other people in my household who are also on calls. So I'm sorry for any sort of if I'm not clear.
You sound very clear. So yeah.
Awesome. Great. Thank you. Yeah, so Kim described this very well. These were just sort of a beginning. And I think the thought was that we could seed with some ideas, and then as you develop use cases, you could actually start adding your own labels and tags, and then we could start sorting through that. So this was just, these are not a definitive list by any means. They're just sort of ways to get you thinking about what labels you could use. Because then we'll start to see like where the similarities are. Maybe some labels can be, you know, consolidated. And so it's just sort of an exercise really in an organization.
Fantastic. I like that idea because I do think we'll want to sort of modify them as we go along. And curate. So I'm going to just make a note of what you said. Okay, to add your own labels. And I think I will go ahead and create a starting set because these seem pretty standard. And then Phil has added one here, multi-party use cases. I would love to see some nice issuer, subject, verifier, or relying party ones. So that's a good one to add to.
I like Juan's ideas of a matrix of some sort. I think that'd be great. I think that'd be very helpful for folks as we start working through the use cases.
That is a good idea. Let's pull that up real fast. Yeah. Yeah, I think this could be really helpful for populating this kind of thing with hopefully a little less complexity than the did use cases. So, but yes, this is a really good example. Let me actually just link to that in the issue. Okay, so I'm not seeing, let me see if there's something else. So yeah, David, that's a good point. Okay, subject is the best term for recipient, credential subject. Let's see, what did we use here? Issuer to subject. And I think we will also be, okay, so Carrie wrote some notes here, and Carrie's on the queue. Carrie?
we have in the past referred to them as recipient earners, learners, but we are, what we are starting to hear more about, right, and we're starting to move towards is guardianship, where there's a subject, but not, it's not actually the recipient. So I don't know how we're gonna work that out, because we have a holder, right? The holder, yeah. I think, is maybe where guardianship comes in, and then there's subject, and I don't know, it's a little bit complex when we start getting into the use cases and the wording.
I agree. And I do think we can, you know, the tags or the labels are easy to modify after the fact. So it's sort of like issuer to X, you can think of it as, and we can like update X later. But Phil, you're on the queue.
Yeah, I want to endorse Carrie's comment about the guardianship, and simply point out that there is at least a starting document from Sovereign that describes elements of a guardianship model, which is probably worth taking a close look at. And the second thing I wanted to note is I added a second use case, which is actually breaking down the issuer activity itself into multiple parties, because in a very practical sense, I see adoption is something that's going to require that as a necessity.
Yes, plus one. Okay, so I think, let's see, so yes. So if there's no major objection, we work in a sort of consensus model in CCG. And so I think right now we're just looking for any major objections to it. If people want to, we can go to a vote. I don't think there's enough controversy to need it in this case, but so I think and I'll note the concern about what we call, actually Carrie noted this already, about what we call subject in here. So we can, we don't have to lock that in right now. We can use anything as a starting point and then just edit it as we go. So I think since I'm not seeing any strong objections, I'll go ahead and note that we can move forward with this. So we'll move ahead with this set. And then also I'll populate them as starting point options, but remember you can add your own. That's definitely fine. If you need any permission, like contributor type permissions to be able to edit that set of labels, just ping me. I noted that Marty was able to submit a use case. So I don't know if that's a separate set of permissions to be able to edit labels though. So just ping me if you're having any problems with anything. Okay, let's look at the one that Marty submitted. And thank you very much, Marty, for doing this. If you're on the call, I'll let you talk to it. Otherwise, I can read it out.
Yes.
Sure. I can speak to that. Great. So this is the work going on in North Dakota right now for their statewide implementation collaboration with a number of folks on this call. So the actor is a student graduating from a North Dakota high school. And the student will request their transcript to be published to a web wallet signed as a verifiable credential from the statewide e-transcripts platform. So we're using a CLR JSON-LD with a Base64 encoded PDF inside, and then the VC wrapper. Currently, it's an Azure key store signature. We're moving into phase two, which will be a DID signature. And I guess one of the interesting components is that we have, you know, roughly 60 individual assertions within the credential. And then those will hopefully be available to be selectively disclosed by the user.
Okay, great. So let me see, when you mentioned the individual assertions, the main goal there. That's just, say, how do you say, expressed as part of a CLR, right? So like,
that's right.
Okay. Are there any, in this use case, are there any, how do you say, like competency, skill, or credential frameworks that you want to link to, or is it sort of more, how do you say, like a little more freeform or tailored to the, how do you say it? Are there any assumptions that the credential or award might be published somewhere, or is it just something like free form the issuer might write?
No, it's there is a connection to, for instance, the OpenSalt and the course definition within the North Dakota deployment, and then potentially. We're working on another use case where we will be aligning with credential engine definitions as well. So yeah, there are references to definitions of the further details for assertions. And does that answer the question?
Yeah, thank you very much. That's perfect. Okay, this looks really good. Any comments or questions on this one? So great, I think this one is a really good exercise of, how do you say, like in terms of richness of the credential issued.
I'll add a little color to this.
Yeah.
That case alignment to OpenSalt that Marty references points the course achievement to the course ID within a course code framework. And then that course code ID is associated with the course definition framework or the course scope and sequence framework. So it's sort of a two-level association. The top level is to the course code using SCEDS codes from NCES. And then that SCEDS code is then aligned to the specific course scope and sequence that the student took.
Okay.
And by specific course scope and sequence, you mean essentially the pathway?
The pathway for that course, right? Imagine that each high school in North Dakota would teach the same algebra course, but they might teach different parts of it. So they have a slightly different scope and sequence.
Okay, fantastic. I'm just going to pull this up. I want to see what this is, what this link is right here. Is this this zip archive that's attached?
That's a sample sample of the VC.
Wonderful. Okay, this is an excellent use case. I see discussion. Is there anything anyone wants to talk about? Okay, let's see, let me just, because I wasn't able to submit it, I'll just talk quickly to the one that I will be submitting right after. So one of the priority use cases for Digital Credential Consortium pilots is a student taking online courses as part of a continuing education program. So they're actually employed, but they're looking to, you know, get promotions or other opportunities within the same workplace. So they're taking a course, online courses, and I'll pick MIT X Pro because that's one of our target issuers as the course provider. So in our case, we want, it's a little bit more basic. We're just looking for something that represents the completion of a of individual courses in the program. We want it ideally tied to accomplishments that are listed in Credential Engine. And then the one other factor is that we would like it to use the concepts in schema.org that mostly because those are being used in Google by Google for like course, or how do you say, like, job and skill kind of definition. So I think that those are the major frameworks, and I need to write that up more eloquently. But I think that's one of the use cases I'll submit. And if anyone else has any that they want to remember, we're looking for those right away. And you know, Marty's is a really good example of, you can say a lot of, you know, this is a very high value use case, all the information we need, but he didn't have to write a whole lot of extra stuff. It's very good and concise. So don't overthink it. Just give us your use cases and we'll keep working through those, and we'll properly review my use case next week as well. And reminder, this is for purpose of this VDED use cases document. Okay, let's keep going. Oh, Carrie, you're on the queue.
Yep, just one quick thing. I just want to say, Marty, thank you for submitting the first use case. That's awesome.
Yes.
I'm going to just reach out to a whole lot of people and ask them to submit use cases. Those folks who don't actually make it to this group, maybe I can help them, like write them if they're not GitHub users. But I was wondering if, based on the conversation we just had with labels before, if you wouldn't mind adding labels to yours so that I could show that as an example to other people as to what they'll do.
Fantastic. Okay, and thanks, Marty. Marty mentioned he cannot add labels to these cases. So I think it may, don't sweat the labels. We the chairs and people with permissions will add them, and we'll also, if actually, go ahead and send me directly just through email your GitHub username if you would like contributor permissions to the GitHub repos, because you know, especially for the use case document, for the modeling document, you may find that you want them at some point anyway. So, and anyone in this group, I don't mind adding you as a contributor of the repos, but also don't sweat the labels. Carrie, that's a good point. I guess I was assuming the labels field in GitHub.
I was thinking it might actually be easier if we just like we have actor and submitter, if we just put tags in there, or we call it tags, or maybe just call it tags, not labels, so it doesn't get confused with GitHub. And then we don't have to worry if people can't add labels.
I like that, because it gets, as you notice, it gets very cluttered too. So let me make a note of that.
My perspective has been like the labels part of GitHub is more about managing the issue rather than the content.
Yeah, and I think the only value would be is if there's so many use cases that we really are having a hard time keeping track of them. I don't think that we'll have that problem that we need to use GitHub labels. So let me just make a note of that too. Add labels. And I think actually what I'll do is update the template. And Marty, I'll go ahead and update your issue too after with the updated template, so it's clear where they go. But basically the template will prompt people to say, put your labels here, and then it'll say ones that you can pick from basically, or add your own. Okay, very good. Thank you, Carrie. That's a good clarification. Okay, the next thing that we had was the work plan action items. This is following up from last week. So again, great job to Anthony for getting this structure kicked off. Hopefully you can still see my screen. I'm looking now at the VC Ed repo at issues. So the item here is that, so we had been working on this VCED work plan, and it turns out some of the items in there were more charter level things. And we decided that also the work plan parts, like the part that is specific to Q1, is stuff that kind of lives outside of a work item. And we thought that we might have update the charter with the more permanent information about how we work, but then also merge our work plans into the charter as well, just sort of as a appending them at the end. So this was the task force that we were the work plan that we were working on for Q1. And so I just basically updated so that we know to update it here now. The highlights I wanted to mention that, we got praise from Manu. That's hard to get. So yay us. Okay, cool. So general work principles, this was one of the areas that we added. So again, we talked about these, but these were principles that are not specific to Q1. We developed them such that we thought that they were general and they would be good to keep in mind in general for all of the work we do. So that's added as an actual section. And then down here, we have the Q1 work plan. And we are still, so the charter tends to be more locked down. Not that we won't change it, but they tend to be less sort of moving targets. But the Q1 work plan, if this is new to you, still feel free to add comments. If you do make changes, please add them in suggesting mode versus editing mode so we can see what's happening. Let me see what we have here. So I think that I lost track here. Oh, I see why I lost track. Let's move back. Okay, so extracted general work principles, added work plans at the end. So updated the former work plan to know so that people know not that's sort of a dead document. And so I think there's probably no concerns about this one. I'm going to go ahead and close this one out. So know that just basically look at the charter now for the work plan. And if it's easy to remember, you'll get a link at the top of this one. So we can go ahead and close this. There is one other work item follow-up that we had from last week, which is key before we start moving forward on our work plan. So remember that the work plan that Anthony provided us with is basically, we're going to clarify the use cases first before moving ahead on the modeling documents. So the modeling document, we had started it with a bunch of samples, which we didn't want to lose. We're pretty sure we're going to pull from them anyway. We just want, we want to have them handy so that, we can refer to them. But we wanted to move them to the appendix and basically clean up the current document so that it's all stuff that fits in with the new work plan. And then we'll move anything around that needs to be as part of the milestones. So effectively, this just cleans up the current modeling document by moving the changes to the appendix. So fortunately, this was easy, just adding an appendix section because they all sort of fit very cleanly. We had in the document, let me go ahead and pull that up. So in the current state, we had, things like requirement, scope, out of scope, the concepts, related work, and then we started working through examples. And so basically now all of these examples are in an appendix, and so that we can refer to them while moving forward. So I didn't see any concerns on the pull request. Any discussion? Let me check the chat real fast. Okay, I think we'll be able to close that one and start moving forward on the work plan. Okay, great. So now we can kick off milestone one. Let's look at this charter for reference of how that's going to work out. Okay, our first milestone that we want to move through is the high-level concepts, establishing the high-level concepts. And let me review, because this is our first one where we'll sort of work through this new structure. The idea, and I was hoping we could have Anthony here to help. He seems much more on top of this than I do, but we're going to try our best and we're going to make him proud when he's able to come back. So we do 5-week work sprints. We open one sprint, a new sprint every meeting, and we follow this general structure. So the chairs will open an issue linked to a new milestone, which I will do now, to develop a specific part of the standard. For us, that first one is we're going to agree on the high level concepts. Fortunately for this milestone, we've already made a bit of progress in the past, so we have a little bit of an advantage here. So in this one, we hold an initial discussion around the milestone. We ask for volunteers to make a pull request at the conclusion of the meeting. If no one volunteers, chairs will do it. At the next meeting, the pull request is presented, people given an opportunity to consider and discuss it. They will be asked for a provisional yes, no for incorporating the pull request. And then over the next 3 weeks, we accept issues to be filed against the specific milestone, after which it is officially closed at a meeting of the group. So let me kick that off right now, because, and I'll show you where we've already been iterating on this basically. So I think that issue, actually we can make that issue in the models document, because that's where we've been iterating on the high level concept. So let me show you that in fact. Okay, this section right here is exactly, hopefully you can still see my screen, concepts requiring definition in an educational context. Let me know if not. But we have here concepts, skill, activity, skill, diploma, enrollment. This one, we will go ahead and create an issue and go through the process of saying, having a pull request to just correct any notions in here that may be, or any cleanup here that we want to do. But I think we should still go about it in the same way. So I'm going to open this issue and then I'm going to ask for discussion on these concepts that we have here to go ahead and kick that off. So be thinking about any questions, concerns you have, and add yourself to the queue. Oh, you know what? That's going to be a mess. Let me, I'll clean this up after the call. Okay. Yeah, Nate, we were wondering about American versus British English last time. I think.
Not the highest priority battle we have.
Yeah, I think we decided we'll just go with the flow. But yeah, Juan, you're up. I saw your hand raised.
Oh, sorry, by mistake. I didn't even know I had.
Okay, I thought you had some great opinion on American versus British English. So, Phil, you're up.
Sorry, I just wanted to ask, in concept four when it talks about enrollment. Are we excluding at this point skills and certificates or whatever that are earned in the context of employment?
Let me pull that up to refer back. Oh, I see. That was Bilal's, not Juan. Sorry about that. Okay, concept four is enrollment.
In other words,
yes,
learning in the job in various formal and various other ways. This is very edu specific in the context of what is the training source. And that may be intentional, I just wasn't clear.
Right, I would like it to be, I would like it to apply to sort of ongoing training as well. So okay, let's just note, let's make a note of that.
Let me see. So the note is just making sure that the language applies to skills and things acquired both formally through certificates or other issued confirmations of that skill, as well as then the question is, which is harder, which is on the job, less formal.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Okay, are there any other comments on, okay, guilds and unions? Yes, often have educational services. Okay, so I don't see any objections to that. I think there's strong, and yeah, I guess the thing is with the British versus American spelling, it's like my autocomplete's gonna be angry at me, or my spelling check is gonna be angry at me. So I don't know, we may have to come back to that, but yeah, so we'll, Jarlath, can you comment on that? Not as easy in day-to-day employment.
Yeah, I think I'm just kind of doubling down on Phil's comment that, you know, apprenticeships, you are being trained on a specific set of skills or competencies, whereas on the job, generally you're picking up skills as you go. So how can you use this framework to capture those additional skills that are not necessarily trained by a formal trainer.
Right. Ooh, self-learning. That's good. I see no reason to exclude self-learning.
Yep.
And I saw Nate on the queue. Sorry, I skipped.
Oh, no trouble. And I just want to endorse, I think this is a good first milestone for us to be working on. And I'm excited to get into the actual formal work on these concepts. As others have said, I think it may be useful to find vocabulary that expands the notion of being a participant in a learning community, whether that be a student enrolled in formal education program seeking a specific degree, or a employee who is a member of a team. And so I think the use cases will drive the vocabulary there.
I see what you're saying, yeah. Okay, let me see if there are any comments. A different approach to non or informal to develop a language that encompasses both. I agree, I think that's something that we're all wondering for all of these. And I think we meet it. I think we all mean it in the more expansive sense. At the same time, when it comes to, I think to Nate's point, the specific use cases, that's where we need to distinguish between the two. But probably at the high level conceptual level, given that something that's going to span all of these, that might be a good time to be thinking about what language we use there. I'm going to add this note in, Phil. Any other comments? Let's see. Okay, so the four high-level concepts, names for the four-level four high-level concepts, definitions. Okay, this is one. Concept of specification and instantiation. Let's talk to that one real quickly. Yeah.
Could you repeat what you just asked us to think about?
Oh, yes. I like your point here about just sort of specifying or reinforcing what level of abstraction we're referring to, making sure that's clear. I think it also gets confusing the way we've sort of gone about this work, sort of switching from specific now back to abstract. And so here we go. Okay, the one to talk about, concept of specification and instantiation. What we mean here is the idea of, okay, specification would be, here is a skill in, or a credential that's listed, or how do you say, what is the right word? Credential definition that would be in credential engine registry, like, the sort of what it means to get that thing in general for across all people versus say Karen, I don't know why that's first name, but Karen's award of that, right? So like that general credential definition would be, you know, a person has completed like these maybe classes, number of hours of lab work, all that kind of stuff, versus when Karen did it, she attended it during this date range. She, had maybe other kinds of specializations specific to her. It might be grades or skill levels or something like that. So the reason that comes up in, especially is in verifiable credentials where it's the credential subject is kind of the center versus the credential definition. So we talk first about credential subject, and then back to the conversation about like has achieved all that stuff. In the fact of applying that accomplishment to a certain person, there's other data that we want to add there. So that's really the difference that we're making there. I don't know if we have, we do have a couple of samples that draw that out a bit. All right, so I thought we did, just one second. Yeah, so the examples we have here aren't that great. Actually, I think that the use case I'll add will have that. So we'll be able to start looking at something more specific. Actually, I think that Open Badges has a really good example of that. So in Open Badges, it would be like someone has achieved a badge class, right? But then, so there's information that's general to all the people who have done it, but then there's information specific to who's it in this case, Alice's achievement of it, like when it was issued and all of that. So any concerns about, that's Phil. Phil, you're up.
I just wanted to make sure that the additional things that are specific to Alice, like issue date and stuff like that, are separate. I'm trying to distinguish between the criteria that the badge requires versus the different ways in which that criteria can be demonstrated versus other attributes that you're now describing about Alice associated with that that issuance.
I see. I agree that that's an important distinction, because I think that like in a typical verifiable credential, you'll need all of those concepts separately. Nate is saying, Nate, can you talk to this?
Yeah, I also found that text instantiation and specification to be really unclear. And so I was appreciated your description of what it was that we were trying to tease apart, which seems to me to be the understanding of how credential metadata might sometimes apply to specific holders and might other apply to many holders of related awards.
Yeah.
Through Open Badges. That would be one concept to attack specifically, and maybe if there are other things under that instantiation and specification umbrella, we could break them out into separate bullet points as well.
I like that. So I'm going to call out that the specification versus instantiation terminology was unclear. And I'm going to pick, oops, I thought I got this. And sort of capture enough to make it clear.
Cool, thanks.
And Phil, credential offered may have, can you talk to this, Phil Barker?
Yeah, I was just trying to summarize the sort of issues that you'd described. I found the distinction between a credential offered by an institution, which is something that, you know, you an individual may earn. So that language of credential offered versus credential earned, I found quite useful. The actual distinction between the two, I think, is just a summary of the sort of things that you were talking about.
Yeah. And I think one thing that seems to keep coming up is, okay, I think that those concepts are already present in CTDL. So it's emerging more and more that, yes, like the goals of spanning all these different, vocabularies are very important, but I also like that CTDL has thought through all of this in grueling detail, and they have a lot of good kind of example or precedents that we should just be kind of following. So yes, dealing with attribution, yeah. Okay, yeah, I like these. These are good clarifications. Any other comments on sort of this high level concepts sprint or, I'm going to bring up this topic, which is sort of, I think, might be a little more controversial, but we have, in theory, we have 9 minutes left, so we can use it, or if we end early, that's fine. But I think that this question is, I pasted this in from that document. I don't mean it literally, but it was phrased as, do we use schema.org, CTDL vocabularies, or choose intentionally different names to avoid confusion with these? I think that you can sort of interpret this as a extreme statement of an idea that was coming out. So like, I think the idea is, so we do want to be able to clearly span different frameworks. We want to be able to talk about something in sort of Europass or diplomas use cases and map that to something, something that we might use in the US. Does the concern here seems to be, well, one, with CTDL vocabularies, those are incredibly thorough, thoughtful, and clear. Does that add confusion to anything by just sort of standardizing on that if there's already conflicts in naming? There's especially concerns about schema.org that we had because there's sort of less focus on precision in names. Like, things can get applied a little bit more loosely. So I don't remember, it was a specific example we were working through though, where we said, oh, this is very unclear in this concept versus CTDL, there was a more precise meaning of it. So, but at the same time, we like schema.org because it's a little broader, you know, it's used by a lot of, you know, sort of like career posting kinds of frameworks. So how do we use all of these and get the precision, but get the connections? And Phil is on the queue. Phil Barker, sorry.
Thank you. I just wanted to make the point that it's not an either or question by any means. You can use some terms from schema.org, you can use some terms from CTDL, you can add some terms of your own. I also want to make the point that a lot of the CTDL vocabulary is based on schema.org. Sometimes terms have been renamed, but underneath in the schema, the relationship is maintained using a equivalent property relationship. Sometimes the term from schema.org has been refined a little bit to make it more specialized. And again, that relationship is maintained in the underlying RDF schema definitions. And, you know, we can do similar here. If we create a new term of our own because we want to be a little bit clearer than schema.org or a little bit perhaps less specific than CTDL, we can encode those changes in the underlying schema and so keep semantic interoperability at the vocabulary level.
Right. And plus one from Jim, precision in names and definition are needed to avoid ambiguity. Generic term, but sometimes generic terms can work across contexts. Okay, and Carrie's plus one is staying open to not restricting ourselves. Okay, any other comments on anything in this milestone? So the next thing I'm going to do is ask if there are any volunteers to submit the first pull request, which would be effectively, this is the section that we're talking about, concepts requiring definitions. So, and then these subsections, relationships between concepts, approach to definitions. So this one uses that language of, specification versus instance. But as we talked about in this discussion, I think we're going to want to break that up a little bit, what exactly we mean by that. Any volunteers are welcome. Nate, can you talk to this point? I think that bears repeating, something I forget to repeat, even though it's in my head, so.
Sure, so here we are in a task force of a community group, so we're not a working group at the W3C, and we don't act with the standardization power that would come with that type of charter. So within our charter, we can describe the vocabularies that exist, we can describe the standards that exist, and we can agree within our members on how to use those standards and our approaches. But that requires us to just sort of be open to the standards that exist. And so if there are multiple vocabularies that cover a term, our role is not really to choose a winner between these things, other than for choosing what our own companies and partnerships will implement. And that's a really valuable purpose here, but I think that just requires us to be open to a couple different approaches to discuss what the options are for different vocabularies that can serve the purposes of our use cases and then build good partnerships that actually put into production the verifiable credentials concepts within the education ecosystem.
Exactly. So yes, that bears repeating probably every meeting because that's something that's not clear about how Credentials Community Group works. And in general, everything we do from here comes from a place of humility and just trying to get things to work in a reasonable way versus any sort of we're setting the standard kind of thing. So, so thank you for that. Okay, Phil Long, can you talk to that real fast? We're about to close. And
yeah, well, I, first of all, I agree 100% with Nate's suggestion. I was just simply trying to clarify that when we make these distinctions, because we're aware of one or more standards that might relate to the to a term, we should just be explicit so that people can, somewhere we need to track how we're interpreting it so that you don't have to be a member of the in-group to figure that out.
Exactly, yes. This is great. Okay, still open to volunteers for this first pull request, and or a set of volunteers. If someone wants to pair with me on it, that would be fantastic, because I think, again, place of humility, I am not an expert in educational data standards. So if someone wanted to work with me on that, that would be fantastic. Feel free to reach out. I think you we're...
It's Carrie. I'll work with you on it.
Fantastic. Thank you, Carrie. So, so wonderful. Good progress on our first milestone. And so Carrie and I will submit a pull request, which we will send out, and then the group will review it next week. We will also kick off another milestone next week. And let me just double check which one that was. Okay, activities. And so we'll give more details about what that means. Thanks to everyone. Oh, Victoria, thank you very much. So we'll be in touch with you, Victoria, as well. And thank you, everyone. Have a great week.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Kim.
Thanks. Bye.
Kim, see y'all later.
Thank you.